May I speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you like to be born again? Would you like me to baptize you in the Holy Spirit? A vicar was walking down the aisle of his city centre church in the presence of some tourists. A stranger had stopped him, placing a heavy hand on his head. Would you like me to baptize you in the Holy Spirit? He asked, or perhaps demanded. If you wish, the vicar replied a bit feebly, perhaps seeking to avert any confrontation. I already have, the stranger replied. Now you are a born-again Christian. I wonder, are you a born-again Christian? Am I? Did we ought to be? Do we need to be? Might we want to be? Or does the phrase born again make us feel just a little uncomfortable, a bit uneasy? Do people who trumpet their born again status make us want to cringe or run away? No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, says Jesus. Or born again. The Greek phrase can have both meanings. So it's there in the Bible, this business of being born again. And this morning I'd like to draw our attention to that phrase and explore it a little. I think it has great positives to bring to Christian living, as well as maybe some drawbacks in the way it's sometimes used. Let's consider those potential drawbacks first. The things we might want to avoid when we speak of being born again. Well, firstly, it can seem to create a hierarchy or a division among Christians. In some parts of the church, it seems it might not be good enough to believe in Jesus, to try and worship and serve him in his church, to attempt to grow in faith and practice discipleship seeking the kingdom of God. In some circles, it feels as if that doesn't mean terribly much or maybe anything at all. Unless you can tell a story about how you were born again. Unless you can tell a conversion story about the dramatic, powerful incident when God came into your life and turned it around. The result of that is that many Christians, like me, can be made to feel a bit second rate. Because we can't tell such a story. And we know that God's grace can't be manufactured. Faith is his gift. And if God seems to have no interest in giving me a dramatic conversion experience, then I'm not going to go and fake one. But sometimes when born-again Christians give their testimony, a bit of me is made to feel I've missed out. There's a second drawback to this emphasis on being born again. It can place more emphasis on the past than on the present or future of our Christian lives. It can make it look as if what matters in Christianity is not how we love God here and now, how we're going to care for our brothers and sisters, reach out to our neighbours and strangers in the world in the future. No, what really matters is that moment in the past when we were born again. My personal experience on one specific day in the past, and my assurance that it gives me a passport to heaven when I die. An emphasis on being born again can make my faith all about me. There's a third drawback too, more applicable perhaps in the United States than here in the UK, so I'll be brief. Being born again can become associated with a narrow range of political opinions. The implication being that if you don't share a certain moral and political view, you can't truly be born again. You're not really a genuine Christian. I think that's very problematic. So there can be drawbacks with the way that born again language is sometimes used. But to mangle my metaphors terribly, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. The language is there in the Bible. It must have a gift to offer us. So could we think about the physical business of a human being born just for a moment? It might give us some clues as to what Jesus is getting at in this phrase that he uses with Nicodemus. So think of a baby inside the womb. It's safe and warm, it's protected, it's fed. It's a pretty cozy existence in the womb, I imagine. But if the baby stays there, it will never speak or think or relate. It will never experience the wonder, the dazzling beauty, the pain, the bewilderment, the glory of life in the world. To live, to truly live, the baby must move from that small, restricted, secure, dark place into the limitless reality of life. The baby must be born truly to experience life. Isn't that what coming to faith does for those who believe? It moves us from a small, familiar, safe set of assumptions about life and the world. It moves us from any illusion that things are under our control. It broadens our vision and opens our eyes. Like Abraham beginning his journey, it takes us out of any comfort zones we try to create, where things are certain and safe and cozy. Instead, it shows us a brilliant, dazzling, limitless, but sometimes scary world, where every person, creature, and atom is made by God and precious to him. Coming to know Jesus as the center of all that is a bit like leaving the familiar behind and plunging into the universe's thrilling great adventure. It's a bit, I suggest, like the beautiful, scary business of someone being born. Think again literally about the business of a human being born. Sometimes it can take ages and ages. I'm told it can feel as if it's never going to end. But some babies are born in a relatively short time. Sometimes a birth can be dramatic, complicated, hair-raisingly dangerous, stressful and draining. Sometimes it can be relatively calmer and more straightforward. Sometimes people tell stories of how they were born for the rest of their lives. Maybe because their life started on an aeroplane or a boat, or perhaps they came out with a cord around their neck and nearly didn't make it. But sometimes people just don't know those details. Those stories aren't there, or they just don't want to tell them, because they think they don't matter that much. After all, what counts is that I have been born. You don't need to know how. You can tell that I've been born because I'm here. Could it be a bit similar with our birth as Christians, perhaps? For some, this might be a very long process, lasting more than days, even years or decades. But for some, it could happen very, very quickly and intensely. One Christian might have a dramatic, painful, emotional struggle to enter faith. For another Christian, it could be also much calmer and smoother. Some Christians will want or even need to talk about the process of their birth into faith. Other Christians might not have that story or necessarily need to tell it. They know that they're living the faith, so they know they've been born. Was Nicodemus born again through this morning's encounter with Jesus? We may wonder. Did our Lord's teaching and preaching open his eyes and bring about a dramatic conversion to his life that day? We don't know. The story gives us no conclusive sign, at least not in John chapter 3. But we do know that by Good Friday, he's part of Jesus' family. He's there at the foot of the cross, among the disciples. We read of him bearing, carrying the precious load of the broken body of our Lord. Somehow then, someday, whether gradually or suddenly, whether painfully or smoothly, whether memorably or imperceptibly, he came to see the world, and Jesus, he knew, was the way of salvation. He came to see the kingdom of God at work in his Saviour. He came to enter that kingdom and join its citizens. He'd begun to live the life of faith. And it's that living which is vital, however or whenever we may have been born. Living as those who strive to love our God and love our neighbour. Living as those who attempt to follow Jesus' way, however partially, however badly sometimes. Who want to walk in his truth and footsteps, whatever the world might think of our choice. It's this living that's all important as we journey through our lifetimes. For we are actually awaiting another birth, preparing for another birth into another life. We can never again enter the womb. Nicodemus was right there. But one day each of us will enter the tomb, or at least the mortuary, a small, dark, confined space where everything is still, safe and quiet once again. And yet the Spirit can blow wherever it wills, even to places such as those, for Jesus has broken the shackles of death. The good news is not you must be born again, or unless you're born again. The good news is you will be born again and emerge from the tomb of darkness into the light of eternal life. Would you like to be born again? The stranger asked the vicar. God's promise spoken in Jesus is simple. He says, you will.